Bibles, go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Y'all, are y'all excited to be here tonight? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for a word? Because I'm not going to feed you anything else. Amen? God's funny. While you're looking for Luke chapter 12, I'll tell you a funny thing that happened this evening. Now, little sweet potatoes and stir-fried vegetables and all that stuff. And I was like, man, this is really cool. And I said, thank you for the meal. And then I prayed for the meal. And I sat down and she asked me a question I didn't answer because I was trying to eat. And then she asked me another question and she says, and I didn't answer. I don't know why I get all transparent with y'all up here like this. I wish some of y'all would help me out. But anyway. But I was hungry and I was, you know, I'd already said thank you. Anyway. Well, anyway, she says, out of her mouth, she says, act like I'm somebody else and listen to me. I was like, of course that was followed up by whatever. No, I'm getting to the point where God's pretty cool. Because then I turned the channel to some religious programming. And there's four pastors or whatever they are, and I don't know if I agree with all of them or whatever, but they're all sitting around. It's better than watching anything else. And they start talking about marriage, and the first thing the guy says was, you need to be nice to your wife like you are to total strangers. And I said, he said, you don't need to be mean to her and then be nice to everybody else. I said, so me being a smart ass, so you just need to be mean to everybody. No, I'm just kidding. But I hear God. I hear Him. I hear how He operates. God don't have to nail you over the head with stuff. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, I'm paying attention. Amen. Are y'all good? That's good, right? That's one thing I learned today. And hopefully I'll do better tomorrow. All right? Luke chapter 12. And matter of fact, let's go back one verse. I'm kind of doing this now more. When God's putting messages on my heart, I want y'all to know kind of how. I'm just going to preach this Wednesday night. It's kind of like family here. It's the way it is, usually on Wednesday. When God puts something in my heart, this is kind of how it works for me. I read through the Bible and read through the Bible, and then God just kind of puts a little, He just nudges you. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. Like right now, I'm in 1 Chronicles where I'm reading from, but the message is in Luke chapter 12. And I'll just get like this, it'll just get this word, like a one little word will stand out or something will stand out. And then I go and read it, and then next thing you know, it's building on. And then for the next, 24 to 48 hours, it's just like an information download. God just starts, and it's like I'm preaching these messages for the next 24 hours to myself to give them to you. But what I've been seeing is God started to show me a little bit more context. Because used to, I could go for a one verse for like 45 minutes. You know? And now God's starting to spread that out a little bit and let me see some things. And I'm hoping that you'll see this tonight. And I told Kyle, I sent him a text, I don't know if he got it, but I said, let's title this warning or beware. I think that's what it was, Kyle. Beware. But we could have titled this four or five different titles because I believe it's going to help everybody in the house. I believe wherever you're at tonight, this message will help you because it's got, I think, two warnings and a blessing in it, okay? And probably a whole lot more. So y'all, some of y'all just said, all right, he's got a three-point message. No way. That ain't never going to happen here. That's for some guy that's got his stuff together, not me, all right? All right, go to verse 53 real quick. And as he said these things, are y'all at Luke 11:53? Sorry for that. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Verse 54 is very important. laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Okay? Now listen, I want y'all to really get a hold of this. And I mean, they weren't trying to accuse him just to make him give him a bad name. They were trying to accuse him to put him on the cross. They were trying to accuse him that they could put him to death. But I want y'all to kind of listen to what I'm saying right here. There are people, literally, who are against you. Okay? Now, I'm not telling you we're not against people. We're against spiritual principalities and higher powers. We're trying to minister to people. But sometimes people are operating for the enemy. Okay? I want y'all to know that. That's true. And in this case, Jesus knows their heart. Now, we don't know the heart, do we? Sometimes we suspect somebody might be against us, but we don't know it because they ain't said anything. It's just some of the things they do. You think, man, maybe are they against me? I hope you ain't got a church member in your mind right now. Uh-oh. Oh, never mind. I'm just going to go ahead and go through that. But I want you to get this in your mind. Listen, hey, Jesus knew. And I want you to know you have an enemy, Satan. He is against you. And there are going to be people that are against you sometimes. And hopefully they get saved and become your greatest ally, friend, or helpmate. Amen? It happens all the time. Matter of fact, we got 14 chapters or 14 books of the New Testament by Paul, who was the biggest enemy of the church. He just got converted. So sometimes when you see some of your enemies running wild, you said, man, you should pray and say, God, convert that joker. We need him. Amen? We need him on our team. Well, he'd be great for us. Amen? But look, as I'm talking, I want you to understand this. Jesus has people against him. You have people against you. So let's start chapter 12. What are we going to do in this case? I love how this starts. This is one thing I love about reading the Bible, this little intro right here. In the meantime, ain't that cool? God, I love that. Is that, Scott, is that not cool? I want to kind of do this. I must have watched too much TV when I was a kid. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, right? Some of y'all are with me on that. Meanwhile, right? You know, like it's like the Dukes of, I know, I'm sorry. Kind of like a little Dukes of Hazzard scene. This is going to, meanwhile, right? Back at the ranch, or meanwhile, as another story from the folks, in the meantime, what's Jesus going to do? Hey, we've got Satan against us. We got people against us. We got people saying and plotting and thinking against us. In the meantime, all right, when they were gathered together, an innumerable, what? How much? Innumerable multitude of people, in so much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, now look at this, there are people running over each other. It's chaotic. And Jesus has people that are against him. God, would that preach? No, never mind. I'll slow it down and preach for you. Can that happen? Satan's against you. People seem to be against you. And it's chaotic in this world sometimes. And if you ain't seen people run over each other, just go out in the town sometimes or go down to Hickson. Right? Sometimes when I drive around Hickson, like we'll go down to the hospital in the middle of the day, I think, does nobody work? I'm thinking, man, it's 11 o'clock. There's a million people in town driving, going to work. I don't know. Maybe they work off shifts. It's just crazy how many people are out. And they're running over each other. And it can get chaotic and the world can be spinning. But guess what? Jesus operates in who he is despite of all that, giving us an example that we need to operate despite of all that in our gifts and callings. Amen. Don't give way to the enemy and say, well, it's so chaotic and it's so crazy and people are against me and Satan's out there just raging, I'll just stop. No. Look around and find out what, see, in this part right here, Jesus is molding and making his apostles, his disciples. Root word, discipline. Whoa, that hurts, man. Every time I read the word discipline or disciple in the Bible, it reminds me the root word is discipline, and it reminds me that we have to be disciplined as Christians. Discipline means doing something that's usually against your nature. that you've been trained to do. Amen? You ever watch a dog who just learned how to sit and stay? Sit and stay? That's how I feel as a Christian sometimes. Sit, stay. And you go over here and you walk a few feet away and their tail starts wagging and their head starts, and their whole body starts like, amen. I know I learned this, but I want to move. That's how I am as a Christian sometimes. I know sometimes I need to shut up, or sometimes I need to sit down, or sometimes I need to wait, or sometimes I need to speak, or sometimes I need to go. But I'm like that. I got to be disciplined to do it. Man, we could preach on discipline all night long, and we would all need it. Hey, man, we would all need that as a Christian, because sometimes we can do all the other spiritual stuff. We can jump, shout, run, praise, but sometimes we can't be quiet. Amen? How many times has God said, don't say a word, and there you are, amen? All the way out there, putting in your 2 cents and wearing somebody out, and God's the whole time sitting there going, be quiet. Amen? Be quiet. Can I go to something? See, my mind runs so fast. I told Melissa to give me that hymnal when we were singing it. You know what it said in there? It was a Heaven Jubilee song. It said they will be singing and shouting over there. No way. I'm just taking a break from my preaching. Is it okay? If there's going to be singing and shouting over there, why do we leave the shouting out over here? Just asking. I was sitting there. I said, man, I was going to make that point since I got up. And man, that old hymnal sometimes will make a liar out of you, won't it? Sorry. That didn't cost y'all nothing. That's just bonus preaching. I just threw it in there. Y'all ready? Discipline. All right, Jesus looks at his apostles or his disciples. Here's a good moment to throw in some training. Even though it's chaotic, even though everything's going against me, even though they're looking to crucify me, I'm still going to operate. He says, beware. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is there for a reason for us too. If it's possible, if Jesus says to beware, that means it's possible for us to do it. Are y'all good? All right, that means it's still on the table. All right, let's read. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Amen? Every time I read this, I think, man, how messed up the church is sometimes. Because we warn everybody against drugs and lying and pornography and all this, and Jesus gets one chance with his apostles, and he says, I want to warn you about one thing. Don't be a hypocrite. He said, don't. Look how he kind of does it like a bakery. I want y'all to get this. He kind of does it like a baking sense. Some of you women can help me, and even some of you baking men out there. Listen, he says, don't put any of the leaven in. He says, man, a whole lot of leaven goes a long way, right? Any of you cook, you know, amen? Not a whole. He said, don't let any, because if you get any into it, it'll become bigger than what it was. Is that correct? I'm not a cook. I'm just kind of guessing right there. Amen? So he's saying, look, beware that you don't worry about chasing all these wild sins. Worry about this first as a disciple or an apostle or somebody that's in leadership or somebody that's in the church. Worry about this hypocrisy thing. Woo! Man, that hits home, don't it? This is a gut shot. I don't like reading the Bible sometimes because, man, we want to talk about things that are really not relevant to us sometimes, but God wants to get right to the point that's relevant to us. He says, beware of you, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And I'm going to get into that after these verses. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Ouch! Every time you get with somebody and say, hey man, come over here, I want to tell you something. God says, that's going to be shouted out on the rooftops. You better be careful what you say. Amen? Especially as a disciple, somebody that's following Christ, you need to realize your words are powerful. Amen? And what you say has a lot of weight to it. Yes. And it doesn't matter because the devil loves it when we say things and behind doors or closed or in whisper. It likes to get out, don't it? Okay. So I thought about some things. What are three points? What are three things that we can be aware of? How can we identify a hypocrite? And I thought, I'll give you three. All right? I'll give you three real quick. One, you're more worried about titles, positions, amen, and the way people perceive you, amen? You're worried about titles, positions, and the way people perceive you, and that's important to you above what you're called to do, amen? I have met so many people in ministry, the first question they ask, where's my office? I mean, you really want to say, hey, just stop there in your car. Just go get in it. Amen? Amen? I'm serious. Where's my office? Where's my tape? Where's my name tape? Where am I going to sit? What position do I have on the stage when I'm speaking, when I'm talking? Where do I go? Right? I'm just being honest with you. Hey, if you're more worried about the position than you are that relationship with Jesus, hey man, let me tell you something. That's the reason you get to preach. That's the reason you get an office. That's the reason you get a position. That's the reason you get a title. It's because God, you have a relationship with Him, and you're hooked up in this fiery relationship with Him, and through that comes your callings, and that's the reason you do what you do. Amen. If you're seeking position, man, you're going to be sad. I'm serious. Okay, I'll just go ahead and be real with you like I want people to be real with me. When I first got called to preach, I was sitting under a pastor, and his name was Tim, and he was a young preacher. I mean, he had gotten saved and announced his calling within the same month. And then they made him pastor. And he learned how to be a pastor on the job. And it was brutal. I've talked to him. I know him. He's a good friend of mine. And he will tell you, it was brutal. And guess what he had to put up with in the midst of that? This guy. Amen? About a year into that, I got saved and I came to church. And within that next year, I announced my calling to preach. And guess what? He had this fireball crazy nut in his church who wanted to preach every time the hat was dropped. And guess who dropped the hat most of the time? And I'm sitting there thinking, I started thinking, man, I can do that. I can do that. I can do what he's doing. I would like to have his spot. No, I wouldn't. He's still the pastor there today. He's still the pastor there today. And guess what he does? His ministry, more or less, has happened over the years. He has taken young preachers and turned them out and let them be pastors and preachers other places. It's an amazing thing. And he has the patience to do it and the willingness to do it and allow you to preach. But man, I'm sitting there like, man, I'm being honest with you. That's what I want to be. I want to be a pastor. Man, until I became one. Amen. Amen? And I'm not talking about the first time I became a pastor, the first time I went to the church, they called me, hey, will you come down and preach for us? And I'm like, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to knock their socks off. And I went in and I sat down in the front row. Melissa had turned her ankle the night before and she said, I can't walk. And I'm like, I'm going in alone. It's okay. It's like a mission. I went in and sat on the front row and before they got started, they got in a fight. I'm talking back and forth, argument. I laughed because I was in a spiritual church under a great pastor. And I'm sitting there, I laughed to myself, said, I ain't coming down here. This is crazy. Amen? And I remember preaching, and as I was leaving, the one of them said, hey, we want you to come back. And I'm like, oh, I just don't know. Amen? I went to my church, and the week before that, my pastor, who'll go for me, was preaching, who'll go for me? And I mean, I'll go. The next time he preached, who'll build the walls? And I'm like, I'll go build the walls. I got down on the altar, and God said, I'm like, send me, Lord, send me where the walls need to be built. You know what he said? I did. Never mind, Lord. I'm good. The walls needed some paint here, you know. Walls need some, you know, I'll just do some spackle and some paint here on the walls. No, that's where I want you to be there. I want you to go there. Whew. I mean, you're talking about war. Amen? That first year was war. And I looked at that pastor. I want his spot. I wanted his position instead of wanting what God wanted. And I learned real quick. You know what I did? About 4 or 5 years into ministry, I ain't kidding you. About 4 or 5 years into full-time ministry, I was sitting in my office one day, and I was thinking about all the men that helped me in ministry. I called Tim. He's weeping. He said, "Hello?" I said, "Brother, it's Kevin Shelton." He says, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm great, man." I started weeping. He said, "What's going on?" I just want to tell you thank you. Just thank you for putting up with an idiot like me. I thought that I wanted what you had. Sometimes I thought I could do a better job. He said, "You know what? I thought the same thing when I watched my pastor." But you know what? That's what you should all desire to do something. But sometimes you just got to learn that ain't your spot. My gosh! But hey, I'm telling you, you can't fall in love with a position. Guess what you do got to fall in love with? Here's part two. People. People. If it ain't about people, then you ain't in ministry. You're in self-service. Amen? Because all this is about, all ministry is about, it's getting Jesus to people that don't have Jesus. Amen. If you're not about them getting saved, if you're not about their lives changing and being better, if you're not influencing people for Christ, guess what? If it's just about you getting another level or another higher, having your name all the chief seats, and somebody said, "Man, he's great." Praise God! If somebody says you're great and people aren't being changed, when I say changed, if people aren't being saved, if Christians aren't growing up into being more mature Christians. And guess what you're doing? You're making a name for yourself. And it's not about people. Hypocrites don't love people. They love themselves. Y'all want number three? I'll give you number three, and it's a doozy. They don't know when to get out of the way. Hypocrites don't know when to get out of the way. See, I was thinking about this today, and the perfect example is John the Baptist. John the Baptist had one of the greatest callings. He's the forerunner of Christ. He's the first one to preach repentance. And he grows a church. He grows the wilderness church, and it is amazing. He rolls up into the synagogues and the tabernacles and says, "I got a word." And they're like, "We don't want you. You look weird. You got crazy big hair. You got a camel's outfit, and your diet is nuts. Locust and wild honey. Man, I can't wait to see that guy." Amen? You think some people are radical. It's Joker. Come on, help me out a little bit back here in the back. Some of y'all are smiling back there at least. Amen? Could you see this guy? I mean, he's sitting there preaching Jesus. You must repent. Well, a little grasshopper. I'm telling you, you need Jesus. And every one of you, I got to baptize him down here in the Jordan. That dude just ate a cricket, man. He's eating locust and wild honey. I don't know what kind that is, Gary. It's wild, right? Swinging rock, he says. Amen. But do you understand what I'm saying? He has this great ministry. People are getting delivered. People are getting saved. So much that the Pharisees and Sadducees come down to see it. What's going on down here? People getting saved. People getting delivered. Amen? What hinders us? Well, you just got to get saved. Well, how dare you? Amen? Well, guess what? In the midst of that, Jesus shows up on the scene and they said, "Are you not the Messiah?" He says, no, I am not the Messiah. He goes, "You're not? You seem like him. You've got a great ministry." God, never mind. Y'all don't say amen or nothing. I'm just being honest with you. You know how big your head would be? You look around, you see all these people out in the wilderness. You ain't even got a building, and you're dunking people every week. Hey, man. You'd think, man, I'm a pretty big deal. And then you got some people who'll come around and tell you you're a big deal. You're a big deal. It's a big deal. But the minute he hears he's a big deal, he says, "Are you the Messiah?" "I am not the Messiah." He goes, "Well, where is he?" He goes, "I don't know, but when he comes, I can't even latch his shoes. I mean, I can't even unbuckle or buckle his shoes." When Jesus showed up, you know what he said? "I must decrease." Hypocrites can't decrease. They always got to increase. They don't ever know when to get out of the way. See, when Jesus, listen, I'm going to tell you when to, if you really want to know when to get out of the way, when Jesus shows up, get out of the way. When he shows up, shut up. When he shows up, be quiet. When he shows up, let him speak. When he shows up, be obedient. Man, Jesus is riding through on the back of a donkey, and the Pharisee says he's come out and tell him, will you tell the people to be quiet? We're in here worshiping God. You're a hypocrite. You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know when to, it's not as much about being quiet as you don't know when to decrease. Amen. You don't know when to get out of the way and just let God be God. I've seen people still trying to do their thing when God's doing His thing. Still trying to say, still trying to sing, still trying to do when God's doing His thing. They just get away. Amen? John the Baptist is one of the best examples. I'm going to get out. Sometimes that's all you got to do as a Christian is get out of the way. I've seen some people come to church and be ready to get to saved, and somebody talk to them so much that they don't get saved. Let's take them to another room and talk to them for an hour. You know what they were wanting? Hey, where's the gift? I hate to preach that real to you, but some people have become so educated and so smart, they think they're smarter than God about salvation. If somebody's coming and asking for God, guess what? All you got to do is say, take him. Hmm. That's a good message already, right? Just in itself. Three things you can identify a hypocrite. I had one more, but I ain't going to preach it. Verse 4, and I said unto them, friends, be not afraid. Here's another warning. And I say unto you, my friends. Ain't that cool how Jesus says that, my friends? I mean, he's giving some big, heavy stuff right here, and he calls you friends. Some of y'all need to retitle your friends and enemy list. I'll say it again. Some of y'all need to retitle your friends and your enemy list. The friends will usually tell you stuff that's harmful to you, but it'll sound good to your flesh. Man, sure you can do that. Who said you can't do that? God and God's Word. Well, that's all right. Your parents. Oh, yeah. Amen. That's not a friend. You need to put an enemy title on that guy or that girl. Amen. And then the friends list is the people who tell you stuff that your ears don't want to hear, but you know it's good. I almost amen myself right there. That's a clue, Derek. Thanks. Amen or something every once in a while. I love that guy. I give him a hard time. Be not he says, friend, and I say unto you, my friend, be not afraid of them that can kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. Whew, that's heavy, man. You know what he just said? That's big stuff. You know, don't worry about the ones that can kill you and that's all they can do. There's worse things than dying. There's times in your life that you got to take a stand, and it'd be better for you to get hurt or even die than to back up and not do what you know to do. Amen. That's the Word of God. That ain't me. That ain't me telling you, well, go out and be a martyr. I'm telling you, God says sometimes it's going to be better for you to take a stand and be hurt or even killed other than to bend. And so will. You hear me? I mean, this is word. It's listen, if you do me a favor, look at the thing. It's red letter. That's Jesus. That ain't me. Verse 5. But I will forewarn. There's the warning in it. You got it? There's that. So I told you two warnings. Beware. And I forewarn. That same thing, okay? But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Golly. Ain't God's good? Say amen. That's good. He gives you a test, but then gives you the answers to the test right after he gives you the test. It's open book. Amen. I mean, even a boy like me can figure that out. He goes, all right, look, on the first one, don't worry about the people who can only kill you and that's all they can do. Let me tell you who to be afraid of. Amen? Golly. Right? Tell you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Let's fear him. Some of y'all are scared of the wrong people. Some of y'all are scared of the wrong things. I'm scared they won't like me. you're going to get that anyway. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
You know what? Can I be honest with you? There's times in my life where I thought I was smarter than everybody else, and I tried to go against that right there. Oh, I got to please them. You know what? The people I was trying to please, I never pleased them anyway, and a lot of times they end up just like you think they're going to end up.
Amen.
Golly, I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Are there any parents in here just saying amen on the inside? I mean, you ain't said amen outside, I know. But have you said it on the inside? Have you said, like, hey, man, I need this? But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I'll give you a challenge. Get a healthy fear of God. God's got control of your soul. Now, if you're saved, that soul's going into heaven. Why don't live for him with all the passion you got?
Amen.
That won't hurt you none. Coming from a little bit of advice, I'm telling you, the only thing I regret in this life, the only regret I have, is not starting to preach when God told me to. Eight. Man, I wish I was an 8-year-old preacher. Amen? I'm serious. Some of y'all think, well, what are you talking about? I knew God wanted me to preach when I was 8. Sad started when I was 30. Amen?
Amen.
It's a waste of time. But I'm going to tell you right now, at 8 was the same year the devil really turned the notches up too. Amen? So when you don't surrender to what God wants you to do, guess what? The devil will show you another way. He will show you another passion. He will show you another desire. And that thing will overwhelm you, and you will think that was what you were made for, but it is not what you were made for. You were made to glorify God, but you'll go after that thing like you should have went after the thing that made you, which is God. That came straight down. If y'all getting that came straight down. I didn't have that anywhere in my thoughts. Somewhere in there. You gotta surrender early and go after it early. Amen? I think Peter says, make your election sure. Amen? I mean, you say, I'm going with God early. And some of you sitting here know, well, I ain't done. Do it now. Amen? Do what you got left now.
Yeah.
Don't turn back now. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to get on to a blessing? Was it 2 warnings? Everybody's like, go the blessing. Verse 6. No, that's verse 5. But I forewarn you, I'll read it again. Whom ye shall fear, fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? God is cooler than the other side of the pillow. I mean, he's talking deep stuff, and all of a sudden he just starts throwing sparrows in. He says, we got 5 sparrows. 2 sold for a farthing, right? Right? So you got 4 birds that cost, right? You got 4 birds that cost a farthing apiece, right? Farthing, that's 2. I'm not a math genius. Farthing, there's another 2. Is that correct? Y'all help me, all right? You got 5 birds total, right? But you got a farthing, that got 2. You got 2 more, another farthing, that got the other 2. And you had 1 what? Somebody better say this out loud. Then you got 1 odd bird. Amen. You got 1 odd bird. Amen. Any odd birds in the house? Amen. Never mind. 1 odd bird left. It wasn't worth nothing to nobody. Amen. But God. There's 4 worth something. Amen. There was 1. The rest of the world said, they ain't worth nothing to me. God said, they're worth something to me. You know what he's saying? He said, for all the odd birds, for the ones that don't think they count, they don't amount to much, God says, you are something to me. You matter to me. You are worth something to me. When he said, when one of those little small birds hit the ground that didn't cost anything, guess what? You're worth more than any of those. You're worth than many of those. And guess what? I'm watching out for you. When you don't think God's watching out for you because you're an odd bird. Man, I wish... Hey, some people in the world, I swear the devil, there's some of us, we just think we're doing all right. But there are some people, they just can't ever catch a break. They can't ever get, it just seems like the devil and the world just keeps hammering and hammering and hammering. And the anthem they hear in their heart and their mind is, I'm not worth anything. I'm not worth anything to anybody. And God is screaming, I mean screaming at you from this verse. I think you're worth a lot. I want you. I need you. You won't fall. You won't die. You won't disappear without me knowing. I know every hair on your head. I made you, formed you in the womb. I've got a calling on your life. Nobody else thinks you're valuable, but I've been counting your value since the day that I made you. If you surrender to me and walk for me, I'll make you more valuable than the precious jewels of this world. I'll make you a peculiar jewel to me. Amen. That's how God sees you. Amen. Some of you sitting here going, well, that's for somebody else. That ain't for me. No, God didn't. He thought so much of you as He made one just like you. With all your experiences, with all your success, with all your blessings, and all your failures, and all your mess. And God says, I want you. Because there's people you can minister to. There's gifts, talents, and ability that are worth something to me. That if I put you in the right place at the right time with your odd bird self, you can save some other odd birds.
Amen.
And you can make a flock of odd birds. And you can ride around and save the world. Being as odd as you can be. Amen? God, I thought more people would shout on that. Because you know what? Sometimes I wonder about myself. I'm being honest with you. You ever ask God why? Don't get all spiritual with me right here. I ask God all the time. I say, God, why? Not why are you doing this or why are you doing that? Why do you put up with me? I mean, why do you put up with somebody like me? I mean, you know me. I'm being real with you. You know me. You know how I think. You know what I do. You know how I'm. Hey, why do you put up with me?
Amen.
Just keeps coming back because I love you and you're working with me. I died for you. I made you. You're exactly what I wanted. Can I tell you that real quick? I mean, this is the funniest story. The first time I got to preach, the very first time, not the night I got called to preach, the night that I stood up and I'm going to preach, the very next opportunity, the very next. This man said, come to my church, preach on the radio. I was like, ah! I didn't know what that meant. But I mimicked everything I heard up to that point as preaching. I mean, it was a good word, I guess. I don't remember. But I knew, I mean, as soon as I got done, God, He hit me right in the heart. I mean, right in the heart. I walked all that pulpit and I sat down and God said, I didn't call anybody else but you. He said, if you ever get up there and do that stuff again, you can have all that you want. That's somebody else. I want you. I want it the way I give it to you, and I want you to say it the way I give it to you.
Amen.
But God, I've heard all these other preachers, and they're good, and they can do this, and they can do that. I didn't call them. If I call them, they'll do what they're supposed to do. Do it your way. My wife, we got in a car, and we're driving off. She looks at me, and she says, do you want to listen to it? No, I don't. I wouldn't do that today. No, I won't ever preach like that again. That's not me. I'm going to preach it the way God gives it to me.
Amen.
You know why? Because He saved this odd bird, and He wants this odd bird to do it the odd way that He made me do it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Now, every once in a while, I'll try to, oh, I wish y'all could be real with me. I look at some of my people, I'm like, man, look how organized, look how smart, look how cool they do it. I just laugh and go, I ain't ever going to be me. Man, I got a good preacher friend of mine. Right? He's got outlines, he's got inlines, he's got all kinds of stuff. He's got PowerPoints. He's like, hey, you do this kind of stuff? I'm like, no, not really. How do you go at it? Nah, just rip it. I write it all down. I put it in here, and what I remember, I give it to them. It's like kind of like, you know, since we're talking about birds, That's kind of how it is. See, I eat it. You getting it yet? And I just bring it to y'all and feed it to you. Amen? Bunch of odd birds. Let's all stand as I come get a song of invitation. If you didn't get the whole bird reference there at the end, ask me after church. I'll tell it to you.